Okay, welcome to the Feudal Podcast. Tonight, we are going to talk about the 2007 film directed by Sean Penn called Into the Wild. It is a based on a true story about... We give all the boring, regular, real information, then we'll get into the dramatization. It's based on a true story that was written by John Krakauer. And the story is of Christopher McCandless, who sort of went to live the deliberate Thoreauian transcendental life, you know, doing his own thing, burned his social security card and everything after he graduated college, after he kind of fulfilled his obligations to his parents and did that whole thing. And he took the name Alexander Supertramp. That was the name he took for himself when he decided to go and try to live this deliberate life. As always, if you want to email us, you can email us at futilepodcast@gmail.com. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Rachel, because you said that you really liked this movie and it was something you really want to talk about.
Yes, it was an excellent movie. The only thing that bothered me, though, was at the end. Well, the whole point of the movie was that he died sad and alone. And it's hard for me to believe that somebody with a gun could die sad and alone and hungry in Alaska, land of the plenty. Of course, he did eat a bad berry. And that's what killed him. But he was eating the berries because he couldn't find anything to kill. I thought that was quite ridiculous. But the good, the best, the whole moral of the story was, in the end, he realized that happiness was nothing if you couldn't share it with somebody, right?
I'm not entirely sure, but I think it definitely had something to do with him getting over his issues with his parents.
Yes, definitely.
And sort of society, on some level. He kind of bought into that myth of solitude, it seemed. But that's always a good sort of American tale of the rugged individual that goes out and, you know, doesn't care about getting permits. If he decides he wants to, you know, ride down the river, he's going to just go ride down the river, and why shouldn't he be able to do that, right? We live in a free society, after all. The thing about the berries, I think there's been, people have wondered if that was actually the case. Apparently those types of berries won't kill a normal person unless they're already kind of starving to death.
Mm-hmm.
And there's speculation that he simply just starved to death. And I think a lot of that points to the fact that he really didn't have proper survival training. And so, if anything, I think the real lesson in the film is, if anything, is that you you kind of need to do your research. He didn't have a compass, and he didn't have a proper map of the area where he was staying. And the irony in that being that if he had had a proper map and a compass, he would have been able to get his bearings and realize that there was actually a manual tram to get across that river, and he would have been fine. It was like a quarter of a mile downstream from where he was checking. The whole issue was that, of course, you know, as the seasons change, the river grows, and he couldn't cross it anymore.
So there was a tram the whole time.
There was a solution the whole time, and it's just the whole thing about, you know, you kind of got to learn a lot of different things. I mean, Mother Nature is a tough thing to just overtake, and sheer idealism isn't gonna do it for you.
Yeah.
So, do you want to kind of talk about the plot, start from the beginning, or the different little people he runs into, the different stories, or what do you want to do?
I like the old man.
At the end?
That he ran into, yes, and he wanted to take him as his son, and he denied him.
Old Hal Holbrook, they kind of taught each other sort of a little bit about life,
yes,
as it were.
He taught the old guy to live, you know, not be so afraid of things, and he ended up climbing the mountain before he took off on his adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure he was going to fall off of it when he slipped.
You thought he was going to die and he was going to be all tragic.
I did think he was going to die, but he didn't. and then I don't quite understand the whole point of why he met Vince Vaughn's character.
Well, I mean, these are all supposedly real events that were cataloged in the book that John Krakauer wrote about this person's life. And then apparently they're doing a guy named Ron Lamuth is directing a documentary about the story, which I think may be a little more interesting because, of course, it will attempt to be more truthful to what really happened. I think there was some dramatic license taken. I don't know if the whole thing with the girl actually happened or something. I don't know, you remember the part where he kind of ends up in the, mm-hmm. the towards the end, before right before he goes to Alaska, he meets back up with those two sort of like yes. hippies mm-hmm. that he met up with early on in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And then they're in Southern California or Nevada or something. And there's that girl, and there's just, I mean, like, I don't know what the point of that story was, if it was just to sort of show that he was so really, focused on his own...
Yeah, it showed his character a lot, too, and she pretty much was, like, half naked on the bed, and he was like, we, you know, can't do this.
Yeah.
Show that he wasn't just a dirty whore, like, the rest of society.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd ever gotten the impression that he was, though. I mean, I don't know.
He didn't. I think it was just proving a point. And he was, in fact, just really committed to his goal of getting to Alaska and just showing his good character.
Sort of heroized him, too, I think, too. Yeah. Maybe that was what they were trying to do because, you know, you had this woman kind of swooning over him, essentially. The girl, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of making him seem like he was so awesome and so great. What else happens? Well, the Vince Vaughn thing was interesting because... He was doing the farm work, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Vince Vaughn kind of had an interesting approach to everything.
And then he ended up getting arrested.
Getting arrested for satellite fraud or something like that. He was selling people.
I never understood what satellite. It was for.
It was something that he was doing on the side with that, but they were all kind of a traveling group of people, I guess, that just ran. What are those things called? Combines or something like that mm-hmm. Was it in the Dakotas?
I have no idea where it was.
Somewhere in the middle of the north Midwest area, I guess. And then, it was a long movie, so it kind of detailed all these things. And then it went back to his parents and sort of drama that happened there with him feeling like he was always sort of a bastard child because he was denied the relationship between his, or the infidelity that occurred that created the relationship of his parents, I think, was mm-hmm. always something that he had problems with. What do you think about the character? I think really in the end this is sort of a character study film because it's about one person by and large that goes out and just kind of encounters other people. It's a road trip story mm-hmm. and how does that character's arc change or does he pretty much stay the same the whole time? I didn't really get much from his arc. I think that he sort of affected the people around him a little, but...
He definitely affected the people around him, especially, you know, with the old guy we were talking about earlier. But, I don't know. He definitely seems like... Kristen's whole thing that I didn't agree with at first, with him being extremely arrogant
mm-hmm.
And selfish, because even though his parents were jerks, like, he could have just, you know, tied off from them. He didn't need to stop talking to them and not let them know where he was going, or...
The whole pretense of him burning his social security
kind
card
of,
and
yeah,
everything
just, like, kind of, I guess, I don't know, kind of...
Created
like, turn, but stooped down to their level... By just, you know, taking off and making them think that he was dead. And then with the sister, too, they had a great relationship, and he just up and left her without...
Yeah, I think I don't remember if he had
he
written to
her
or something. Mm-hmm. I know he didn't tell her what happened, but it seemed like he had communicated to her a few times during the 2 year... It was a 2 year period before he went to Alaska.
I think there was only once that he did call the house and she
maybe.
Answered.
Yeah, that's the real thing about it. I think you have to talk about there's the idealist sort of approach, but you can't... You know, you have to do the work. And he did some of the work. He trained and he talked to a guy about how to properly butcher
an
animal
moose out there,
which
he did not properly do.
Well, he didn't have the resources, I think, to even properly do it.
Well, it seems like he could have at least aimed a little bit of it.
I guess, I don't know. As soon as he did that, I basically knew it was a mistake, because, I mean, I used to play Oregon Trail when I was a little kid, and it's like, you shoot the ox, and it's like, you're wasting a lot of that. You're not going to be able to use any of all of
yeah.
that, preserve it or anything. So I got the impression that was...
At that point, for one meal, mistake. You know, it would be worth it. Survival of the fittest, right?
Well, I suppose.
I mean, it's not very... I mean, I don't really approve, but if I was starving to death, I'd kill a whole moose just to have a meal.
Yeah, if you could make it work.
That may be unethical, but...
He had the right... See, he brought rice with him, and then the rifle, and then, like, pen and paper. I mean, I think part of the argument for some sort of arrogance is that he was documenting it all. He was keeping a journal about it, mm-hmm. as if, like... I mean, if you're doing something for yourself, then you don't really need to document anything. You don't need to keep a journal, right?
Yeah.
Because you're just... You're not trying to prove anything to anybody else, or... have anything to be evidence to other people that you did this or didn't do this.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it was just some sort of therapy for him, which maybe that seems like it was.
I think it is. A lot of people write for
to get it out.
To release things, so I think that's what it was.
Okay. Well, what are your opinions? Because you're the requisite in-house hunter-gatherer. as much as that goes against the gender roles, what do you think? Do you think he just completely was unprepared for doing that, to go out? I mean, he lucks out first of all, right? When he just finds this magic bus, as he calls it, this burned out old VW bus that just happens to be all ready to go for him to just camp out in, and so you know. He obviously wasn't prepared for real weather.
He would have died
with
if he didn't run into that thing, for sure, a lot sooner, because Alaska gets freaking cold.
Well, he had timed it to be in the spring, so I think he wasn't in a part that was going to be super bad, but yeah, you're still
in
the elements.
It was snowing when he had gotten there and found the bus in the first place. So unless he knew how to build an ice
I don't know
cave.
If he was going to build an igloo or anything, but yeah, he would need to...
You would have to open that joint. It gets cold there.
I don't doubt it. So ill-prepared.
Ill-prepared, for sure.
Kind of...
No, you know what? I don't agree. If you have a gun in Alaska, you should be able to survive.
Not enough bullets and good aim.
Exactly.
And you know how to... But you need to know how to prepare something. Like, I wouldn't know what to do. I mean, I could shoot something... I'd know be able to differentiate like meat from guts and all that. I know to get rid of all that stuff pretty quickly, and then you know start a fire and cook it. But that's going to take care of me for what, one night, and who knows, I might still end up haywire if I ate the wrong thing.
That's fine though. That's it, as long as you have a meal for one night, you know.
So you're saying
you gotta live day by day.
You're saying the day by day approach is the way to do it. I mean, I guess that's. That's a type of survival. He said...
I mean, I think you need to be more prepared, for sure. But, I mean, the rice could have held him over.
Yeah, a little bit. The white rice, he shouldn't have bought white rice. I think he would have gotten more nutritive value from wild rice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the opinion of it was. I liked it as a film from its... the sort of style and stuff, because of the way that there was a lot of times where it could just be real quiet and it could just be real focused. It was more, you know, because it was so much about this one character, and occasionally he'd run into people and he'd have a couple little, like, you know, chats, and they'd learn something from each other or whatever. But a lot of it was more just him going different places. And, I mean, some of those things were pretty remarkable, I mean, that he did and still survived. I mean, he went all the way down, what river was it?
Colorado River.
Was it the Colorado River down through the Grand Canyon all the way to Mexico, which to me seems pretty involved. I mean, I don't know what kind of rapids you run into going through that, but if you have no, you know, understanding of how to kayak or anything, then you could be in really bad shape. But he survived that. And, you know, just, I mean, I don't know, I think what it says about the society is, you know, basically that they're, most people are pretty good, decent people in the world, you know, just doing their own thing. Because he doesn't, there's never any instances of him, you know, running into somebody that's trying to rip him off, or, you know, he doesn't almost get stabbed or anything.
Well, he got beat up by the train guy.
Yeah, but that was a different thing. That wasn't like a criminal organization or someone taking advantage of him. That was sort of him being taught a lesson about.
But he shouldn't
freeloading
have gotten,
on the train.
Well, yeah, and I understand the guy was like upset about it, but he really didn't need to beat the crap out of him.
Yeah, I don't know. That could have been excessive, but I don't know. I felt like it was sort of like that was what he was doing. He just doesn't want people doing that. You know, you can't be hanging out on the trains. He made the point of the liability issue for the company.
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden some kid's hanging out on the train and then, you know, gets his arm cut off because he tries to jump the train or something, and then he's got a $1 million lawsuit against them. And then a lot of people are out of work, and we know how those lawsuits.
He shouldn't be able to sue them with.
He shouldn't, but he would be, you know.
Of course, yeah.
And so that's sort of the double-edged sword of litigious societies, which I think it was also maybe what they were making a point at. It seemed like it had sort of a very libertarian spirit to it,
big time.
You know, about just get up and do what you want to do and, you know, live your life and don't worry too much about society's rules or everything else.
Yeah.
I was pretty shocked when the ranger was talking about the rapid thing and said, like, that it was going to be some huge number, some really large number of years before he could actually get a permit to go down the river. What? That doesn't make any sense. But then you think, well, it's government. You'd almost believe it. It seems pretty exaggerated, but who knows?
I'm sure they used correct.
They might have. I don't know. I mean, they're not doing a documentary. They're telling a narrative story. So they're gonna do things that fit what the director, in this case Sean Penn, thinks is the essence of the story and the essence of the character.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't see too much in terms of subtext. I'm usually pretty good at looking for that and seeing like where are they trying to condemn, you know, commercialism and capitalism and that kind of American, traditional American society. I didn't get a lot of that. I didn't get really any of that. You know, it seemed like it was basically pretty evenly interpretive that, you know, he went out there to live the life deliberately and he was not prepared and he was, you know, essentially sort of a scared city kid that just wanted to get away from his bad family background and things that he had trouble dealing with in life and thought that he would go up somewhere, he would disappear for a while, and all of a sudden all of his problems would be answered.
No.
So, I don't know.
He died instead.
Well, yeah, that was a different kind of escapism, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of conclusions, under what were the context of you seeing this movie? Did you see it with friends? Did somebody tell you that you needed to see it and you went and rented it on your own and watched? Did you go see it at
the
theater?
I was at a friend's house the night before I went skydiving, and he was telling me it was a good movie and he owned it, so I watched it, and it was really good. I was expecting to, it was late at night and I was tired and I was expecting to just fall asleep before I even got halfway through, but I got totally intrigued and stayed up.
Really, it's interesting because it's not a lot of explosions or anything. It really does have some moments of quiet sort of, I don't know, transcendentalness to it. Where you could almost fall asleep, but
But it was, I mean, every piece, even though like there wasn't a lot of dialogue or anything, like was a huge.
It's an interesting sort of character study.
Yeah, like there was all kinds of stuff going on, even though there wasn't talking.
You prefer movies like that?
Like in Castaway.
Exactly.
Where there's like hardly any dialogue for 3 hours, but somehow you're intrigued.
Well, there's stuff going on, there's problems being solved, and there's, you know, characterization and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you like movies like that? You prefer those sorts of stories? Where
I don't say I prefer it, but I liked it. I like realistic movies.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, sci-fi nonsense that aren't true. So I think I was intrigued by the fact that, especially living in an area like this where a lot of people are, you know, vagabonds or whatever.
Okay,
just kind of, you know, don't
have the shanty towns and stuff.
Yeah. And so it's interesting to wonder where maybe all the bums that we have came from,
all
if they're staying here.
The people that are off the grid.
Through.
Off the grid, like it's their religion, sort of. The modern day gypsies, if you will.
Yes, yes.
They're caravans that are driving about.
Mm-hmm.
So you're interested in terms of sort of a cultural thing, and then also. Did the survival aspect, was that something you were interested in? Like,
yeah,
in terms of the hunter gathering
side? Yeah, I wasn't impressed at all with the survival tactics.
Well, yeah, but did that speak to sort of a realism to you, though, based on the character?
Yeah. I guess since he was, you know, a little spoiled rich boy growing up, he probably didn't, you know, need to do a whole lot for himself. But the one of the things that really irritated me about it, because, I mean, not a lot of people would know how to, like, kill an animal and, you know, gut it out and just properly, you know, do things. But it's, like, Alaska's land of salmon. And he had a river right next to him. He could have survived off of fish. And you can eat, you know, a fish one night.
That's true.
And catch another the next day.
That brings me to another sort of survival story that takes place in Alaska. Another movie. Have you seen The Edge with it's Anthony Hopkins?
No.
You might like that.
The Edge.
Yeah, The Edge, written by David Mamet. It's Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin, and there's sort of some drama between the two of them because one guy's like a photographer, and they came up there with Anthony Hopkins. You know, he's got his trophy wife because he's some rich corporate guy, but he's an intelligent person, and he, you know, he's got a book about survival, and he's reading those sorts of things just because he's the kind of person that wants to stay educated and stuff. And they end up in a plane crash situation, lost in the Alaskan wilderness, and you know, he has to sort of come up with solutions for things, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you might like that. It's more of a, you know, dramatic story, and there's a grizzly bear chasing them and stuff. And I wouldn't say it's terribly unrealistic. I mean, with something like science fiction or, you know, fantasy or things like that, it's pretty obvious that it's not realism. Mm-hmm. I think that the biggest danger is in films that are sort of very, you know, they're set realistically and everything else, but then, you know, what happens in the story, what happens to the characters? And I think what would have been very unrealistic in, like, this story, I mean, obviously it's based on a true story, so they weren't going to just do their own thing entirely, was like if he had managed to survive with very little knowledge going into a place like Alaska just to go live in the woods on his own. That to me seems pretty unrealistic because I don't know how many people, you know, you don't just figure stuff out by magic. You have to learn through experience and understanding. And
yeah,
The Edge, you might like that. Somebody better.
Not always. Hean.